Maybe.
We're holding the 17th chapter of Pikudei Lezer, Perek Shivosar, in Eshkol Editions. It's page Nun Aleph, 51. What we had seen at the end of last chapter, we had seen how God loves Gemilut Chasadim and kindness, and the Torah is filled with kindness, and God loves the kindness that's done to Chasam, how even the Philistines did kindness to Shimshon Samson when he was a groom, a Chasam in their midst, and God repaid them for that. And now they rejoiced with him. That was the kindness they showed him, to rejoice with the Chasam's kindness. And God repaid them for that. What? The Philistines, when Samson initially married a girl from the Philistines, they joined them in the party. Okay, but we see that, bottom line, they got repaid for that. That's what we saw 2 weeks ago. And now, we're continuing with the 17th chapter, and we're continuing on the concept of Gmilut Chasadim, kindness. Yes? I'm with you. Okay. Gmilut Chasadim la'avelim minayin. We discussed one extreme, doing kindness, joining a person in his rejoicing, in his happiest day, the day of his marriage. How do we know, from where do we derive the concept of doing kindness to people who are in mourning? The opposite extreme. People who have lost a loved one. Anul medina kadosh baruch. We derive it from God Himself. Shehu ve'atmo gamal chesed le'moshe avdo u'kvaro b'yado. God did kindness to Moshe and buried him on his own. V'ilmalei ha'davar katuv. And if the verse would not state so explicitly, if shalom ro, we of our own accord would never be able to say such a thing. Shneimaz, the verse states, v'ikbor oto b'gai. God buried him in the guy, in the valley, or whatever the guy is. Kaman gamliel b'nosho Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi omer. Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, says, Lol Moshe levado gamal hakadosh baruch hu chesed. Not only did God do kindness with Moshe, Ela af la'aron, but to Aaron as well. Kshalu lo'or ha'har, when they went up to that double mountain, Hayu medaynim kol shiftei Yisrael v'omrim, Moshe ve'Elazar inichu et Aaron v'or ha'har ve'yardu lehem. Moshe, Aaron, and Elazar go up to the mountain. When they go up, Aaron is wearing the clothing of a Kohen Gadol. They come back down, and Aaron's son is wearing the clothing of a Kohen Gadol, and only Moshe and Elazar come down. Where's Aaron? So Moshe and Elazar saw that God led them into a cave. And in that cave, God told Moshe, undress your brother Aaron, and then take his clothing of Kohen Gadol and dress them to his son. And then tell Aaron to lie down and fold his arms and close his eyes. And then God came and gave Aaron a kiss, and Aaron passed away. When Moshe saw that, Moshe said, that's beautiful. Moshe said, Aaron merits to have his son take over his post. And for Aaron to be able to pass away in this fashion, Moshe wished he would, and God granted him that wish. But the Jewish people standing down below, what do they see? They see three go up and two come back down. What do they say? They said they didn't believe that Aaron passed away, and they didn't want to do him the kindness of crying over his death because they weren't willing to believe he died. What did God do? God took the casket Aaron was in, and miraculously it started floating above the camp, and everyone saw Aaron's dead body floating over the camp in the casket. The Jewish people saw that casket flying in the air. Then they believed Aaron passed away, and they did him the kindness, as the verse states, the whole congregation recognized that Aaron passed away, and everyone started crying, men, women, everyone started crying. But when Moshe passed away, only the men were crying, not the women. As the verse states, "Vayivku v'nei Yisrael et Moshe." The sons of Israel cried over Moshe's death, but the girls, he didn't teach them the Torah, so they weren't crying. Ula'aron gamlu ha'anashim ma'anashim chesed. But when Aaron passed away, the men and the women did him the kindness. Everyone was crying over his death. Shneimar, as the verse states, Vayevkut Aaron 30 yom, Kol Beit Yisrael, the whole house of Israel cried over Aaron's death, stressing the word Kol, the whole house of Israel, including the women. Lama, why is it that when Aaron passed away, the women cared and cried? Shaya ohev shalom v'rodef shalom, because Aaron loved peace and chased after peace. Vovel b'machane Yisrael b'chol yom, every day he passed through the camp. He wasn't sitting in Mishkan doing his duties and forgetting about everyone, but rather every day he passed through the center of town. Menoten shalom b'nish l'ishto, he'd deal with marital issues and bring peace between man and his wife. V'nish l'reo, and between a person and his friend. People were having a fight, he'd sit down and help them settle it. If you were having a fight and some great rabbi walked in, the greatest rabbi wearing the breastplate, everything else, you'd get nervous. You'd think, gee, I have to behave myself, he's standing here. And then suddenly a person thinks, well, maybe I'm not right. Maybe I should give in. People are more gentle when someone of that stature is standing around. So, when Aaron passed through the camp, Aaron would stop to see what issues were taking place and who he could help, and he'd bring peace into the camp of Israel. And that's how when he passed away, so the women were also sorrowful. And therefore, all of the Jewish people did him the kindness that everyone cried over his death. And this verse that describes Aaron's death, lo zeu mekumo alav mosera, the verse really describes Sham met Aaron, that Aaron passed away in the place that's called Mosera, Vaikaver Sham, and he was buried there. And that verse is out of place, because we know Aaron passed away and was buried in Har Ahar. Ve'la alav ha-katuv kilu met Sham ve'nikbar Sham. What happened was, when Aaron passed away, the Jews said, we can't handle it. Aaron passed away? How are we going to manage if Aaron passed away? And they started retreating. And they retreated 7 stops along their journey. They went back to the place called Mosera, and the tribe of Levi chased after them with their swords drawn and said, you guys get back here, we're continuing to travel. And the verse records it as though Aaron passed away in Mosera, because they could only start mourning his death after they stopped and encamped in Mosera. So he was traveling reverse for 7 journeys until the Levites caught up to them and said, we're going to manage without Aaron, we will continue forward. So that's why the verse describes it as though he passed away in the city of Mosera, when really he passed away in a place called Horaha. Rabbi Yossi Umer, Shivat Yimei Eved Minayinan Lemidim. Where do we derive the concept of 7 days of mourning from? Miyakov Avinu, from Yaakov, in last week's Parsha. Sha'asa lo Yosef Shivat Yimei Eved, that Yosef, after his father's passing, held 7 days of mourning. Shneimar, as the verse states, Vayas Laviv Eved Shivat Yamim. He made 7 days of mourning for his father before burying him. And when Yosef went to bury his father, all the great men of the Egyptian kingdom went with him. Shneimar, as the verse states, many chariots and horsemen went up with Yosef to bury his father. God said to the Egyptian people, you did kindness to my servant Yaakov, that you all partook of his eulogies in the burial ceremony. I will also give you and your children good wages in this world. When the Egyptians passed away in the sea, they're all killed when the splitting sea comes crashing down on them. Their bodies didn't melt or get eaten, consumed by the fish in the sea, but rather they merited to be buried. God gave them this wages, so to speak. They did the kindness that they honored Yaakov's death. So God gave them an honorable death, honorable burial. Shneimar, as the verse states, Natita yimincha, God, you outstretched your right hand, Tivlaim o'aretz, the earth swallowed them up, they were buried. They got a burial, the Egyptians. From where do we derive this concept of doing kindness to a person who has lost a relative? We learn it out from a woman called Izevel. During the period of the first temple, there was a king over Israel by the name of Achaz. Yeah. So Ahab, he married a woman who came from the city of Sidon, from a non-Jewish north city, and she brought into the country a lot of idol worship. She introduced prophets for the Baal and the Asherah, and she caused the Jewish people to sin a lot. And now from this woman we will derive the concept of doing kindness to a person who has lost a loved one. When she passed away, the prophet told her before she passed away that the dogs will consume her. And when she passed away, the dogs did, but they left over parts of her. And the Navi describes which parts. And now the Medrash is going to explain what happened. So from where do we derive this concept of kindness to a person who lost a loved one? Anu lemedin mi'izevel. We learn it from Izevel. Shaya beita samuch lashuk. Her house was near the public pathways. Bechol chatan shaya over. Whenever a groom or a bride would pass, hayta yotzet mi'beita. She'd go out of her house. Umtzatzelet bechapeah. She'd wear these wristbands that would have bells on them, and she'd make noise with her arms. She'd clap in their honor. Here she is, the queen, and she comes out clapping in front of them. Umkaleset befia, and she'd go in honor of the chasm and kala. Umalechet esot tzadot, and she'd walk 10 footsteps in honor of the chasm and kala. Bechol met shayal vel bashuk, and if a corpse was passing, there was a burial procedure passing through the main thoroughfare, which was near her home. Hayta yotzet mibeita, she'd go out of her house. Ummacha bekapeah, she'd clap her hands in sorrow. Umkonenet befiah, and she'd wail the way the women in those times used to wail. Umalechtacha, and walk in honor of the person, in honor of the deceased. Venibale Eliyahu zichrono livracha, and Eliyahu, the prophet, prophesied about Izevel. Vamar, and he told her, Bechelek Yisrael, in the portion of Yisrael that you illegally stole this piece of land, yochlu akelavim et besar Izevel, the dogs will eat the flesh of Izevel. Ve'ha'ivarim shayu gomnim chesed lo shaletu aleihem akelavim. But the limbs that were used to do kindness, the dogs did not have control over. Shene'emar, as the verse states, ve'yelechu lekovra, they went to bury her body. Ve'lo matuva ki im agulgolet v'araglayim lekapot hayadayim. All they could find of her was her skull, her feet, and the palms of her hands, because her head she would use to shake in honor of the chasm and kala, and make the woo-woo-woo. The hands she'd use, the palms of her hand in clapping, and the feet she'd walk in honor of the dead or in honor of the chasm. So the limbs that she used for kindness remained. The rest of her body, the dogs ate. Gemilut chasadim le'avelim minayim. From where do we derive the concept of doing kindness when a person is deceased? Anu lemedim me'anshei Yavesh Gilad. We derive it from the people of Yavesh Gilad. Gilad is the territory on the eastern side of the Jordan, and Gilad is a problematic area. Gilad is adjacent to the tribe of Benjamin, and they had very good contact with the tribe of Benjamin. When during the period of the judges, the time of the Shoftim, there was civil war, and all of the tribes united against the tribe of Benjamin, the tribes made a pact, and they said, whoever doesn't join us against the tribe of Benjamin will be wiped out. Well, the people of Yavesh Gilad did not join. They were not willing to partake in the civil war. And one understanding that we see from here is that this was because of the good relationship that existed between the people of Yavesh Gilad and the tribe of Benjamin. And so after the civil war, the Israeli troops sent representatives to wipe out the city of Yavesh Gilad. So they didn't have many inhabitants. And yet, when King Saul was anointed as king, so the king of Ammon came to the people of Yavesh Gilad, and he wanted to attack, and they told him, wait, don't attack, what do you want? We'll give you what you want. And he said, you want to make peace? Each person has to cut off his thumb, each person has to take out his right eye. And they said, wait a second, we got to think about it. And he said, fine, no one's going to be able to help you, no one's going to be able to save you from me.
And they sent to the people of Israel, and he said, is anyone willing to help us? And everyone got scared. Until Saul heard about this, Shaul HaMelech, and he said, that's ridiculous. He cut up some animal, and he sent it out around the tribes, and he said, anyone that doesn't join me in this war against the people of Ammon, this is what his cattle is going to look like. And he gathered the people together, and they went to war, and he saved, he rescued the people of Yavesh Gilad. When Shaul HaMelech died, when King Saul was killed at war, so the Philistines took his body and mutilated it. They cut off the head, and they hung up his body as a sign like they won. And the people of Yavesh Gilad bravely went into enemy camp, into the enemy's territory, and that night they took his body down and gave it a proper burial. They were paying him back for what he had done to them. He had saved them. The people of Ammon wanted to wipe them out. He was the one who put together the Jewish army to save them. And so now, when he was dead and his body was being disgraced, they're the ones that went to take his body back. Yeah.
Why was he killed that way?
That we will discuss, God willing, next week. In our class on Shmuel. So, Shenarag Shaul uvanav, when King Saul and his sons were killed, one say Yavesh Gilad, the people of Yavesh Gilad said, Ha'ish Yitzilanu Mechafat Ne'amon, the person who saved us, who rescued us from the disgrace of the people of Ammon, Enanu Chayvim Igmolo Chesed, don't we owe him to do him kindness? Ve'amdu kol ha'gibroim shalahim, all their brave men got together, ve'alchu lehem kol ha'layla, they traveled all night, Lechomat Beit Shin, to this tower where the body was, which was 3 hours journey from where they lived, Shne'mar ve'ekumu kol ish chayl ve'isu tlufat Shaul, as the verse states, all the brave men gathered and they carried the carcass, Shaul's body, back to Israeli territory. So from them we derive the importance of honoring the body of the deceased. How do we comfort a person who's mourning? We give him bread, we give him food, and we give him wine. Now, food, that's understood. There's a special custom that the first meal a person has after he buries a relative is supposed to be made by other people. Other people are supposed to prepare that meal, and the custom is that we give them round things to eat, so to speak, to remind them that it's a cycle in the world. People are born, people die, it's normal. Something round represents a mouth that's closed, that when a person is in a time of suffering, he should know maybe it's not the time to speak. He's going to have problems with his Creator. It's difficult to swallow what a person undergoes. Maybe now's the time to be quiet. So the custom is to give them something round. And the bread, that's taken for granted, that you give them something to eat. Today people give bagels. Once upon a time used to give lentils. Many people give eggs. Those are things that are round. How do we know that you give a person who's mourning wine? So today that's not so customary, but the ancient custom used to be they give people wine. Shneimar, as the verse states in Mishlei, Tunu shechar la'ovet, ve'yayin le'marei nafesh, give wine to people who are bitter. Anshei Yavesh Gilad ayu gomlim chesed im Shaul v'im banav, the people of Yavesh Gilad did kindness with Shaul and his children, b'tzom uvchi u'mistet. They gathered in fasting, and they cried, and they eulogized King Saul. Shneimar, as the verse states, v'yitzu m'shivat yamim, they fasted 7 days. Now Halacha says if a person passes away, and he has no relatives, or let's say a community finds a dead man, and no one knows who he is, so there's no one there to mourn his death. So 10 people, 10 representatives of the community gather, and they sit down and they mourn the person's death, and the rest of the community comes and they comfort them. And this is, so to speak, to show that a person passed from the world, something of value passed. So the people of Yavesh Gilad did the equivalent. Shaul died, his children died. What did they do? They themselves went and fasted and did mourning for 7 days. God told them, I will give you your wages in the time to come. When I will gather the Jewish people from the four corners of the world, the first to be gathered are the half the tribe of Menashe that are on the eastern side of the Jordan, that in their midst are the people of Gilad.
What?
What? Where's what said? Tehillim, the 60th chapter, Tehillim Samach. Shneimar, as the verse states, Li Gilad veli Menashe. I will gather the people of Gilad. I will take the people of Menashe. Why is it amazing?
God gathers Ephraim and Yehuda, as the verse states, Shneimar Ephraim Maoz Roshi, Yehuda Machokeki. Li Gilad, another understanding is, what does it mean, Li Gilad? This verse in Taylor means, Ze Achav, that is Achav, Shemet Ramot Gilad, that he passed away in Ramot Gilad. Beli Menashe, that's understood literally about Menashe, the wicked king. Menashe was a king that was so bad that he filled Jerusalem with blood knee high. Ephraim Oz Roshi Ze Yeravam Ben Nevat. Yeravam Ben Nevat will ultimately be my head, God says. Yeravam was such a pious person, such a big tzaddik, that God said, you, me, and David are going to walk in Eden together. And Yeravam said, who's first, me or David? And God said, David. So Yeravam said, I'm not interested. So Yeravam ultimately was punished terribly. He's the first king of the 10 tribes that departed when the kingdom was broke up. So ultimately God says he's going to be brought back in the time to come. He's going to return. He's going to be at the head. Yehudam Chokeki Zachitofel. We know Achitofel was King David's great advisor, that when King David took his granddaughter Bathsheba as a wife and had her husband killed, as we will study the story in the future, her husband Uriah Achitis, Achitofel had it in for David and did his best to destroy him. And Achitofel is not supposed to have a portion in the world to come. It says that Atid Lavo, ultimately he will be returned. Moav Sirach Tzi. Moav is the pot I use to bathe, to wash in. Ze Gehazi, that's Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, who disgraced God's name with his improper behavior. Ultimately he will also be returned. That's Doeg. We learned about him and all the troubles he did for King David. He will also be returned. God says to these people, I have to make friends between you and King David. You guys all made trouble for David. I'll make you all into friends. Rabbi Pinchas Omer, Rabbi Pinchas told us, לאחר שנה שנהרג שאול ובניו, a year after King Saul and his sons were killed, ברעב שלוש שנים בימי דוד שנה אחר שנה. There came a famine in the times David is king, he's fresh king, and there's a famine for 3 years straight. שנאמר, as the verse states, ויהי רעב בימי דוד שלוש שנים. There was a famine in David's time for 3 years. בשנה ראשונה, the first year, עלו ישראל לרגל. So the Jews came up to Jerusalem. Amar lehem David, they came up to serve Hashem on the holiday, and David tells them, Tzu'u shema yesh bachem ne'adam avdei avdei azrai. He says, I see there's a famine, there's a problem. Maybe amongst you there are people who are serving idols, shebavon avdei azrai, because of idol worship, hagshamim ne'etzachim. There is no range. Ne'amar yishamu lachem penifte levavchem, as the verse states, watch yourself lest your hearts go astray from serving God, and then God will stop the rain. Yatzu vatku v'lo matzu. So the Jewish people said, fine, our king. They went out, they checked. They couldn't find a single idol worshiper in their midst. The Shana Shniya, the next year, Alu Yisrael Aregel, the Jews went up. Amar lehem David, David sees there's still a famine, and they tell him, nope, there are no idol worshippers in our midst. So King David tells them, Tzuhu, go out and see, Shem yesh bachem megala arayot. Maybe there are people who are having improper relationships with women. Check that out. Shbavon gilu arayot, because for that sin, hagshamim netzarim, there's no rain. Shneimar, the verse states, v'tachnit yeos biznotech uvratech. You caused the land to be destroyed with the improper relationships you have. Mashtiv sham, what does it say there? And then there's no rain. So the Jewish people went out, they checked, they said, no, everyone's married to women, they're allowed to be married, everything's okay. The third year, they come up, David said, maybe there are murderers in your midst. Because that's the third sin for which it rains stops. As the verse states, that we should not cause the land to be destroyed by
having murderers in our midst. But Ku, they checked Velo Matzal, they couldn't find. 3 years there's famine. David each year gives them something else to look for. They come back and they say, no, can do. Amalem David, David tells them, must be, it's my fault, David says. If you guys can't find any one of these three sins, that's it. It's my fault. Miyad amad David livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'itpalel. So David right away stood up and prayed before God. V'amalo, and God told him, Al Shaul. You know why? It's because of Saul. Amal David, so David said, Eini Shaul. Here there are different versions. There's a version that says that God told David, isn't that the honorable Shaul should be Amav lo nestav das Rabbi Yisrael? There was no idol worship in his time among Israel. Ve'eino Shaul, isn't it Shaul shenimshach Shem Namishchai, was anointed with the holy oil? Ve'eino Shaul shechalak Shmuel HaNavi, and isn't he King Saul that his portion in the world to come is with the greatest prophet, with Shmuel? Amalo, and God told him, Ata ba'alef, you're sitting in Israel, v'hu b'chutzlaf, and he's on the eastern side of the Jordan. His body is in Gilad, as we just read. The people of Gilad are those that retrieved this body. They're on the eastern side of the Jordan. So God told David, how can it be that you're here in Israel, sitting comfortably, and his body is suffering out in chutzlaf? Right away, David arose. He took all the wise men of Israel, all the great men of Israel, v'avut ha'yodin. They crossed over the Jordan of Valley of Ishgilad. They came to the city of Yavish Gilad. Umatzut atzmot shul v'yontan b'no, and they found the bones of Shaul and Yonathan, his son, shelo shalta b'em rima, that the worms didn't touch them. The bodies were intact. They came to take the bodies after 3 years, and the bodies are intact, and we have a tradition that anyone who's a tzaddik, the worms don't touch them. The bodies are found intact. We have this tradition that tzaddikim, historically, and this has been validated over the years, even not so many years ago, people have found intact bodies, be it the Gra. There are many Talmidei Chachamim that they say that when they came to take out their bodies, they found the body intact. V'alav ne'emar, shomer kol atzmotav, achad mena lo nishbar. And about King Saul, it says God watches all his bones, not even one was broken. V'lakach atzmotav muntanam baron, they took King Saul and his son Yonathan's bones, his bodies, their bodies, and they put them in a casket. Vavuta yodem, they brought them, they crossed them over the Jordan. Shnemar v'ikbut atzmot shuv yonatan beno, v'yasu kol shel tziva melech. They buried them in the tribe of Benjamin, in their tribe, and they did as the king commanded. Mat tziva melech, what did King David command? Liyot mavrin ta'ono shoshol v'kol pul Yisrael. King David commanded that they should take the casket and pass it throughout the land of Israel, v'kol shevet v'shevet, through each tribe. V'haya agvul shechnas ba'ono shoshol, any boundary, any tribe that the casket entered, hayu yotzim, the tribe would go out, hem uvnehem uvnotehem, the men and their sons and their daughters, v'gomnim chesed, and they do kindness to King Saul, k'dei sheyitzu yidei chovatan v'gmilut chasadim. King David knew that the Jewish people have to do the kindness that they owe Saul, so the body was taken after the body was buried in a simple fashion, in a modest fashion. Initially, 3 years later, they took the body in a casket and passed it from tribe to tribe, and each tribe got together to honor King Saul. They had tens of thousands or coming to honor the body. Atzba ligvul Eretz Binyamin. So it came to the portion of the tribe of Benjamin, ligvuto b'gvul nachlato, and they buried him in his family's plot. Kevan shara kadosh baruch hu shegamlu lo chesed kol Yisrael, the second God saw that the Jewish people united to do kindness to King Saul, miyad mitmalei rachamim, God got filled with compassion, v'natan masar al haaretz, and God gave rain to the ground, shneimar v'yater elokim na'aretz achrechem. The verse states that after this, God gave rain to the ground. Rabbi Nitanel omer 300 shana shelo nolad Yoshiah nikra shmo. Gentlemen, you have strength? You want to finish the chapter or pause here?
Who's
another 3 to 5 minutes? Rabbi Nitanel omer, Rabbi Nitanel says, 300 shana shelo nolad Yoshiah nikra shmo. We had a great king named Yoshiah, and he ultimately took care of the idol worship in the land of Israel, and he burnt the places of idol worship. And when the kingdom was divided, when Yerubim ben Nevat came along after King Saul passed away and took half 10 of the 12 tribes, and we had two kingdoms in the land of Israel, two Jewish kingdoms, Yerubim was fearful that the Jews would return to their original king Rehoboam, the son of King Solomon. So he led the Jews to serve idols, and he said, if they serve idols, they'll remain under my control. And at one point he was serving idols, and a prophet came And Yeravam, and he told them that they would all be punished. And Yeravam extended his hand and he said, grab him. And God made a miracle and he lost control of his hand. That's it, his hand was finished. So he tried to bring his hand back and he couldn't. And the prophet said, that's because God said you're going to be punished for this idol worship. And the bones of man, your bones, Yeravam ben Nevat, will ultimately be burnt over here. God is going to appoint a king named Yoshiyahu, and he will take care of all of you and all the sins you're doing. And Yoshiyahu became king 300 years later. So the prophet is prophesizing to the king Yeravam 300 years earlier. He's telling him there's going to be a king named Yoshiyahu, and he's going to take care of all of you. So Rabbi Netanel tells us 300 years before Yoshiyahu's birth, his name was identified. Shneimar is the first state. Hinevei nolad levet David. A son will be born to the house of David, Yoshiyahu Shmo. His name will be Yoshiyahu. And the bones of man, meaning your bones, your oven, will be burnt here. Uven shmoneh shana malach. And he was 8 years old when he became king. V'chinah ben shmoneh shana maidato. What can an 8-year-old understand? Ela, I'll tell you, the Medrash says, What did he understand at 8 years old? Ma'aset alilim, he hated idol worship, the shibel tamatzivot, and at 8 years old, he ran the campaign to destroy the places where they'd make altars to serve the idols. The charatet asherim, and he cut down the trees of idol worship. The gidat apsirim, he uprooted the idols. Vaitaz chutom avheket b'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chisei HaKavod, and his merits were shining before God and God's holy throne. And his generation wouldn't listen to him. He said, stop serving idols. He'd send his FBI out to check that people weren't serving idols. And what they'd do is they'd take an idol and they'd have two doors opening into the room, and they'd place half the idol on one door and half the idol on the other door. And when you'd open the doors, so what you'd see is it didn't look like an idol, because you couldn't identify it as an idol unless the doors were closed. And this way they were able to do tricks and get away with hiding their idols and continue to serve idols, even though they had such a pious king who was trying to shape them up. And because of their sins, the sins of the people, Ne'asaf HaTzadik, Yoshiyahu was killed. And this great king was a shining star. People hoped he would be the Messiah. And when he died, all of the people of Judah and Jerusalem and the prophet Jeremiah came to do kindness. What's our focus on this chapter? The kindness that we do with the deceased. They came to do kindness with Yoshiyahu. Shneimar, as the verse states, Yoshiyahu Yirmiyahu lamented over the death of the great king Yoshiyahu. It says the male singers lamented. This refers to the Levites who ordinarily stand on their platform to sing. Vasharot, the female singers, that doesn't mean there are female singers singing in the honor of his eulogy. Eilun Shotem, it's only a reference to the Levite's wives. Just like you have a Kohen, and his wife's name is a Kohenet. A Levi, and his wife's name is Leviyah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lo Alavim Umshem Amru, he says that Sharot isn't referring to the Levite's wife, but Kol HaNashim HaChachamot, the wise women. Shnemar, as the verse states, Kol Amar Hashem Tzakot, Yitvannu V'Kir'ulam Konnot U'Tzvena. The women should come weeping and wailing over the death of Yoshiyahu. וכן קיבלו עליהם כל ישראל, and the Jews accepted upon themselves להיות גומים חסד עם כל חכמי ישראל וגדוליהם, to do kindness to the wise men of Israel and their great men when they passed away. ויתנום לחוק על ישראל, and they accepted it as a law among Israel. ראה שלמה שמידת גמלות חסדים גדולה לפני המקום. King Solomon saw that God values kindness. וכשבנה בית המקדש, when he built the temple, בנה שני שערים. He erected two special gates, אחד לחתנים ואחד לאבלים ולמנודים. One gate is for חתנים, and one gate, the people who enter it are people who are in mourning or have been ostracized for being sinful. And on Shabbos, the Jews would go and sit between these two gates. When a person would enter the gate of Chassanim, everyone would know he's a Chassan. Everyone would bless him. The one who rests in this house should make you happy with sons and girls, with sons and daughters. When a person would enter the mourner's gate, if his lip was covered, he had grown his mustache, so that showed he wasn't shaving, he was in mourning. They'd know he was in mourning. And the whole Jewish people who were standing there, they would console him, they would comfort him, and say, the one who rests in his house should comfort you. But if his mustache wasn't grown, so they knew he wasn't in mourning, so what's the reason he's entering that gate? As they'd know he was ostracized, The one who rests in his house, they tell him, should comfort you, and should give you in your heart the understanding to listen to your friends, and they should take you back in. King Solomon erected these gates so that the Jewish people will fulfill their obligations in doing kindness. When the temple was destroyed, so we could no longer get together to honor all the chasanim and kalos, our sages instituted that a chasam comes to shul when he is a chasam, and the person who's in mourning goes to shul when he is in mourning, or he goes to a base medrash. And the people of the place, they see the chasam and they're happy with him. So when they say la 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 over here in honor of the chasam, or they start singing in his honor, that's the kindness we're supposed to show a chasam. This was instituted by the sages in commemoration for what used to be in time the temple, that a person would enter the temple through a special gate on the Shabbos when he was a chassan, and he'd have thousands there singing in his honor and blessing him. So today we can't have thousands, so we have a miniature of that. We have in our shuls, when a chassan walks in, when he gets an aliyah, we all sing and we are happy in his honor. And we have the same custom on Friday night. The mourner walks in right after Lechododi, just before we say the song in honor of Shabbos, and everyone comforts him. Yoshinimo al haaretz, and their time they'd sit on the ground with him. This was to ensure that the Jewish people fulfill their obligation of doing kindness. And regarding these people that do fulfill their obligation, that they show a person they're taking part of his suffering when he's suffering, and are rejoicing with the person when he's happy, about these people, the blessing states, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Gomel Sachar Tov, who repays good wages, the Gomel Chasadim, to people who do kindness. So this chapter focused on the kindness that we have to do to the deceased and their relatives in taking care of the body of the deceased, just as they took care of the soul's body, and showing our care for a person who's in mourning.